Hello and welcome to the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast, brought to you by Nessel & Associates. Nessel & Associates is an ERP organizational change management firm serving the private equity industry. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Donald, the founder of Invert Ventures, a change strategy firm, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Dr. Jack Nessel, the founder of Nessel & Associates, and the host of the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast. The ERP Organizational Change Journal seeks to share expertise, insight, and create effective conversation to help guide ERP organizational change to real, measurable, and verified success, expanding what we can see so we can act in a more effective way. We seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community. The primary purpose of this podcast is to discuss, share, and reflect upon effective and efficient ways in which to realize ERP organizational change success. We will discuss the people, process, and technological components of ERP organizational change. This podcast is intended as a forum to study, share, and discuss ERP organizational change. It's our intention for this to be a collaboration tool and resource. We hope that you find this podcast useful as we share lessons learned, discover best practices, and explore the human elements and components of ERP organizational change. Our podcast draws on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, practitioner experience of both project successes and project failures. A general review of the themes of ERP and organizational change practice, literature, and research suggests that understanding and critically having an awareness of tactics founded in principle is fundamental to ERP organizational change success. Our podcast will discuss these tactics, explore these approaches, and discover the principles that they are founded upon so that they may prove to be useful in addressing ERP organizational change challenges and risks.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm always so excited and looking forward to fun conversations with you and our guest. We seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community. As we are a podcast that desires to engage in valuable insight into the world of ERP organizational change success with interviews and roundtable talk, our guests include experts and pioneers in a field, organizational stakeholders, practitioners, and researchers. Our podcast is a platform for those seeking to share, learn, and reflect on ERP organizational change success.
In this episode, RFID, Value Creation, and Effective Tech Strategy, we will explore with Mr. Dean Frew RFID and its significance as a digital transformation tool and technology. Mr. Frew is the CTO and SVP of RFID Solutions at the SML Group Limited. In addition, Mr. Frew is a retail thought leader, a global team builder, RFDI IoT app expert, and general entrepreneur. Mr. Frew has founded and led multiple disruptive technological organizations, including venture-backed and large corporate teams, into emerging markets, with industry-leading enterprise products and solutions. Mr. Frew is recognized as an industry thought leader and a frequent speaker in the RFID IoT community and currently leading the SML RFID team addressing digital transformation and item-level RFID solutions in the global retail market. This includes software, hardware, and change management service offerings. Mr. Dean Frew is responsible for the item-level RFID tag development, intelligent inventory enterprise software solution vision, the technology department, the RFID IoT go-to-market strategy, and its partnership ecosystem, which includes the RFID chips, readers, software platforms, cloud connections, and the responsibility for building and managing a global team across markets such as China, North America, and Europe, of world-class experts in building a global partner network specializing in retail operational transformation. Jack, I'm so excited to talk with Dean.
Likewise, Jonathan. Thank you. In this episode, we will explore the processes, leadership, challenges, and benefits around successful RFID development. RFID is a proven technology that allows organizations to minimize cost, increase productivity, and improve sustainability challenges. RFID is not only a technology that has been implemented throughout global organizations, it has demonstrated great success in terms of significant business value. RFID is a perfect complement to ERP systems by providing not only another level and opportunity for operational process performance improvements through automations and ERP integration, but RFID is also a significant business intelligence advantage. How? Well, let's learn more. Having been in the field as a practitioner for about 30 years and dedicating a great deal of time to systems research, when it comes to engineering business solutions, I truly have never met a mind as talented as Dean's. Dean's ability to apply effective engineering, business processes, software, project leadership, and culture all into one solution that works is quite impressive. Dean, Jonathan and I are thrilled to have you on our show today.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan and Jack. It's good to be talking with you again.
All right. Let's dive in. So we have a variety of RFID questions for you, Dean, so we may jump around a little bit. But for our listeners' reference, we did have another great RFID conversation with Gary, a colleague of Dean's in episode 7, titled Business Intelligence Game Changer, Radio Frequency Identification, which for our listeners, we'll include that in our show notes as well.
Dean, as Jack mentioned, we had your colleague Gary on, and I was just thinking about what a great conversation we had with him. And I want to start this conversation the same way we started it with Gary. So for some of our listeners, because we have a broad swath from the ERP world and the organizational change world, can you give our listeners some context about what is RFID and how you use it for businesses and retail transformation?
Sure. To think about RFID, it's an extension of the barcode, really. In 1974, Wrigley put a barcode on a pack of chewing gum for Myers Corporation. And with that, it was the first time that a line of sight type data collection process was used. And that largely has been extended now by using that same data model and schema and putting that in the memory of an RFID chip. And RFID chips connected to an antenna, which allows think of it as the larger the antenna, the easier it is for that tag to hear and that tag to talk back to the reader. And inside the memory of that RFID chip is what we would think of as the SKU, which would be the number representing a blue medium t-shirt and the serial number of that specific t-shirt. And the big transformation is that we're moving from a SKU level system fabric at the ERP level to an item level system fabric. And what that means is now every single item has an identity, and then we use radio frequency technology to be able to interact with that individual item. So in the past, you used to have to either count manually before 1974, and then through the barcode era, you would be able to point a barcode scanner at something and scan every single barcode, but you didn't know which barcode you scanned. And with RFID, we're able to read hundreds of tags per second with a reader. And with that, we get the ability to do cycle counts in stores weekly, or in some cases daily, to keep your inventory accuracy high. That's the genesis of it. And a system requires tags, which we're a producer of. Requires RFID readers with software on it. Today, it requires a cloud-based application to be able then to use that information for enterprise efficiencies.
So, Dean, I want to just see if I'm really understanding this and provide some context for our listeners. The RFID chip and system is really an extension of the barcode. And what it enables for businesses is to go from a SKU level understanding of their inventory all the way down to an item level. And it sounds like instead of having staff pull inventory, the RFID actually pushes that information to the system. Is that an accurate understanding?
Definitely is accurate on the extension of the barcode. The way that the associates and the technology in the associate's hand or in a reader that's mounted to a wall or something like that, it's The reader itself is what initiates the call to the hand, to the tags themselves.
So think of it as
there are a number of ears out there that represent tags, and the tags don't respond until they hear a reader calling out to them. And literally, there's no battery in the chip, so what happens is the energy is absorbed by the chip. It generates enough energy to talk back to the reader. And it's a passive system. And so there's this, think of it almost as like a reflection. It receives the energy that, that powers up the chip so that then it can turn around and call back to the reader and say, I'm SKU 1234 and I'm serial number 12456. And the tag next to it says I'm SKU 1234, but I'm serial number 678910. And it's doing that now using radio frequency and some of the, you know, digital signal processing to basically now do that hundreds of times per second. And that just creates a very disruptive technology when it comes to looking at the simple function of counting what you have in a store, counting what you're receiving into a backstock, or use cases like that.
So, Dean, you've explained a little bit for our listeners what RFID is, but you've told me before and others, and I've heard you say this, that tech has to create value, meaning technology must be useful and has to solve for real business challenges and provide effective process improvements. And you seem to have a real knack for systems engineering and streamlining processes in which to improve business. And that is, you work in the space where business process and technology converge to the benefit of the organizations. But what would you say is the general business value of RFID? Or in other words, what would be your elevator pitch to a new organization considering RFID?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've been involved in this technology for well over 25 years. And one of the things, the technology itself has been around for longer than that. And what happened is for the first 15 years of that journey, the industry had found a lot of places to use it. For the use of RFID, but the value proposition wasn't strong. It wasn't until we moved into the retail apparel space, footwear, home goods, that we really saw the value proposition be dramatic. And that transformation comes around the ability to move from a 60% inventory accuracy at the item level to a 98% inventory accuracy at different places in the supply chain, whether it be in a distribution center or whether it be in a store. But the store is the place where it's most dramatic because that's where most inventory distortion takes place. And so if you think about it, a store that has a 65% inventory accuracy at the item level, because it doesn't matter. What we mean by that is it doesn't matter that I know I have 100 t-shirts. If I don't know how many medium, small, large, extra large, and double XL I have of the blue V-necks, and Jack, you come in to buy a blue V-neck t-shirt of your size, it doesn't matter that I've got a different size. It doesn't matter I have a different color. You're coming in to buy that. That's what makes apparel unique.
Right.
And so being able to get down to the item level inventory, an accurate view of what your item level inventory is what is so dramatic about the use of RFID in these certain these segments of retail, like apparel, footwear, sporting goods, electronics, and so on.
Dean, this is fascinating because it sounds like you're giving these retail outlets the ability to better customize and tailor in real time. One of the things that often comes up on this podcast and in our work is what is the relationship between technology and then making it work for business and business strategy? So in your world, what does it look like to have an effective RFID tech strategy? What kind of questions would you ask to create it, and what do you expect it to answer?
It's interesting, having done these projects now for a number of years, is that the retailers, if I speak specifically of the retail business, the retailers who are driven by the store operations teams and a real business problem, and that problem is I don't know what I have, and I'm not able to satisfy the customer effectively, and I probably have too much stuff in my store. If the retailers who start with that as the premise are the ones who leverage the technology the best. If it's something that starts in the technology side of the business or starts in the loss prevention side of the business, they have a bigger challenge with the transformation. Because what's interesting is the operation side of the business pulls transformation through the rest of the organization versus the technology team pushing technology transformation through. And every single successful project that we've seen has had that happen. It's all around what is the operational benefit, organizational benefit that a new technology and new processes will provide to the enterprise.
This is so important from my perspective, Dean. And I want to highlight this for our listeners, that there's a change in effectiveness in those projects from where the energy and the project is started. So that operations is pulling this to the business as and it sees its usefulness, where tech is pushing this out to the rest of the business. Do you bring that to your clients overtly when you start?
Yeah, I mean, when we sit down with a client, one of the things that we immediately look at early on in the discussion is who's sitting at the table from the customer side. And if we see that the store operation side, for example, is not represented, we encourage the technical team to make sure that they're included, because they need to establish. Ultimately, it's not the technology people that are responsible for using the technology in the store. It's the store operations teams and it's the staff in the store. And so by far the best enhancements we've seen to our product are not coming from the technology team. They're coming from the store operations team and the associates who are actually using the technology to service customers more effectively and ultimately service their own shareholders more effectively by being more efficient in their stores. So we do that. And likewise, we also are responsible for, you know, highlighting that they need to have supply chain people on the team. They need to have merchandising people on the team. One of the challenges with item level RFID in retail is it touches a lot of different parts of the organization. The price ticket that goes on the garments, it touches them. It touches the people managing the vendors in Vietnam. It touches the supply chain people managing the distribution center. It touches the IT group, clearly. And then ultimately those people in the store that run it and the managers of the stores who are accountable for inventory and so on. So we really encourage there to be a pretty significant cross-section of the organization. And we've seen that success is directly related to the cross-section that comes onto a project like that.
Dean, this is fascinating. And especially because there's an awareness here that cross-section is actually needed to implement this for maximum shareholder value, because it's the retail people at the end of the day who are using this technology. And one thing that comes up for me here is I'm wondering how you create buy-in and alignment across those various functions in an organization for our RFID. Because I know in transformation, without that critical stage of cognitive buy-in and real behavioral alignment, there can be some real issues. And so what do you do and what do you see as the common pitfalls here?
Yeah, so change is hard. I mean, go back to my analogy of 1974, Wrigley put a barcode on a pack of gum. We've not changed the way that we've been managing inventory for 40 years. Okay.
That's a perspective.
Okay.
Just
to think about it, you know, and it took 15 years for it to be mainstream in retail, and it's basically stayed the same now for almost 30 years. And so, you know, being sympathetic and empathetic to that, most of the
sure.
professionals that we're dealing with in a store have only lived professionally in that world. And so as we go into a transformation, one of the things we try to do is let's manage this by fact. It's not about technology. Let's go off and do a proof of concept and let's see what your inventory accuracy really is. And let the numbers speak for themselves. And so that's what we do. We basically just say, let's set up a proof of concept.
Yeah.
Let's go in and do cycle counts of your store. Let's compare that to what your system says you have at the item level. And then we'll let you decide if you think there's a value to have a better view of inventory than what you've currently got in your ERP. Because it's almost like asking somebody to understand the things that they don't know. And so doing a POC in a pilot is very enlightening. I mean, sometimes we joke about, we sit them down and we give them a glass of whiskey and say, you need to drink this before we show you the data. Because they've been operating for 30 years with the idea that they've got, you know, they believe the physical stock count that was done in June, and here it is in December, and they don't have another way of solving the problem. And so it's like pointing out to somebody that they need to fix something, but not giving them a tool to fix it. So it's a little bit easier for us. Not only are we showing that this is what your real inventory is versus what you think you have, but there's a way to fix it. And there's other people that have already fixed theirs, and you can follow along with them. And it's really not that complicated, but it is a huge change. It's a dramatic change at the personal level for a lot of these folks. So, you know, I hope that helps, but it's a very enlightening journey that we get to walk on with clients that are coming into this the first time.
Sure. Great explanation, Dean. Thank you. You know, Dean, one thing that we've talked about before, you know, obviously ERP systems are, you know, kind of that heart and soul of a business, right? And you and I talked about, and I think I've been using this phrase for years, that ERP transactions really at the end of the day more or less represent dollars, right? They represent inventory value or transformation of dollars in some sense, in general, for the most part. But how exactly does RFID complement these ERP systems? Can you maybe speak to that a little bit more, that kind of partnership between RFID and ERP?
Yes. And, you know, clearly ERP is in every retail, every enterprise that we deal with. And it's everything from the warehouse management system to the typical or what we would consider the financial back end to order management systems. The point of sale to retail management, there are many different flavors that retailers have in place. And they operate at the SKU level, and they do a very good job of it. Picking operations and warehouses have been refined. They do it really well. Point of sale operations work really well to check out and to update the back end as to what's been sold. They're not perfect, but they do a good job. Financial systems basically look at what was my inventory right now, and planning systems then based on that. The challenge that they have is they don't have good data. Their data is off. And so one way to think about this is that we do at least is a retailer does a physical count in their stores in June. Typically you'll see some type of distortion across the different SKUs of plus or minus 2-3% every week just due to receiving. And so think about that. Your ERP is being distorted plus or minus 2-3% every week. So by the time you get to December, by the time you get to November for the Christmas rush, you don't really know what you have within accuracy of probably no greater than 70%. Yeah. And so think about the missed sales that are going to take place because you did get the stuff to the store that you needed. You think about the orders that you canceled. Jonathan ordered something at an XYZ retailer for buy online, pick up in store. They thought they didn't have it, but they were understated in their ERP system. So they could have fulfilled Jonathan's order, but instead they told him they didn't have it. The interface to the rest of the world is being done at the SKU level. Jonathan doesn't care what serial number is on that,
right.
That jacket.
Right.
If you don't count everything at the item level, then you won't be able to have accuracy enough to tell Jonathan that you really have it or you don't. And so every single system, if you think about it, these item level system fabric sits below the ERP fabric. It doesn't replace it. We don't replace the warehouse management system. You know, our systems don't replace the point of sale. What we do is we make their decisions better, because we're providing the technology and the operational applications to be able to manage those down right. at the individual item level.
You don't replace, you complement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you know, and that's the other thing we found is that enterprises have spent billions and billions of dollars putting in these ERP systems. They don't want to, and a lot of pain, and there were careers that were lost and everything else putting them in. They don't want to go in the process of replacing them.
Right.
They were customized for their business. You know, Jack, you and I have worked on projects together that was the case. When you get them and you want them to live there for a long time. And so what we're able to do is come in and sit underneath them and run the executional processes in the store, in the distribution center, and feed up into that ERP layer better information, more accurate information, more timely information, so they can do what they do even better.
Mm-hmm. So Dean, is it fair to say, I mean, really, if you had to distill it down, RFID is really a way to automate input, much more accurate and timely input, I should say, that feeds your ERP systems at the end of the day. It's a tool in which to improve the efficiencies and the effectiveness and the timeliness and the accuracy of the data that's going into your ERP system.
Yeah, I mean, I would expand that to say item level RFID does that.
Yeah, okay? Right, yeah. Right.
Okay, so yep. What we're trying to do is establish the big disruption that's taking place in retailers today is that they're moving to item level management of inventory, item level management of returns process, item level management of buy online pickup in store picking, those kind of things.
Right.
And it happens to be that the rest of their ERP fabric is at the SKU level. Okay.
So Dean, you'd mentioned in that response to this question, I believe you said that inventory accuracy no greater than 70% under that scenario that you shared with our listeners. What could they expect with, you know, as Jonathan referred to, an RFID strategy that's well aligned with the organization and implemented properly? What would that number be then?
Yeah, so we have approximately 4,000 stores around the world that are using our technology, and they're achieving between 95 and 98% inventory accuracy every week. And what's most important is they're doing that. They consistently stay there. So a physical count that you would get if you brought in people to do a count typically would be around 92 to 93% at the item level. But you see that decay of 2 to 3% plus or minus every week. The nice thing about RFID is it self-corrects every week. So you do 95%, you know, we had one retailer today on Wednesday that counted 600 stores in the United States at over 95% accurate. They're going to decay 2 to 3%, but guess what? Next Wednesday, they'll bump it back up to 95% again. And so what they're able to do is eliminate their out of stocks and get rid of the cancel rates on their buy online pickup in store. And most importantly, the biggest ROI generator is they realize they've got way more stuff than they need, and they were able to reduce their inventory. So we've got two retailers that have taken over 10% of their inventory per year out of their business. And you think about that. That's one retailer has 220 million units a year that they sell, and so they took 20 million units of inventory out while they increased their sales by over 3%. Okay, and so
yeah.
You know, I wish I could say it's some magical algorithm that we scientists have developed and all this, but the reality is, you know, just to be frank, it's basically yeah. We've created a technology system that
right.
includes tags and software that allows you to get from the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, up into the 90s, but most importantly, consistently keep it up in the upper 90s,
yeah.
And then you're able to make better decisions.
Dean, there's so much here. I just want to make a quick comment for our listeners here and to clarify something. The real value with RFID, as you said, is it's self-course correcting. And so it keeps you at that level as things change, giving your already existing ERP systems a better platform to make decisions because you're feeding it better data. And that allows you to use that technology to make better decisions, whether that's what items to stock or inventory. So your technology is actually reinforcing existing business decisions and process and tools to make better decisions. How does that land on you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you take, for example, some of our customers who came back from shutdowns in June. They
yeah.
had no idea what they had in the store because stuff
yeah.
had still shown up. They had no idea. And so they used the technology to go in and do a stock count. And then they said, okay, I've got this stuff. And then what they did is they said, all right, I got a bunch of winter clothes. It's June now. I need to get all those out of here. And they were able to make that decision within the first day or so. Again, the ERP system knew that they were somewhere in the enterprise, but that doesn't matter. It's where are they exactly, because that's where the customers are going to be. So
yeah,
RFID, because it's so easy, you know, to give you an idea, a retailer that has 45,000 items in a store, which is a mid-level retailer, it'll take two people 1 hour to do a stock count, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to get to 95%. So it's something that it just becomes part of the daily business of using the technology to do receiving, to do stock counts and so on. So,
wow.
Dean, what would it have been before? Compare that. Give us
for 8 hours. It'd be 20 people for 8 hours.
Wow.
Okay. And that's why they only do it once a year, and you only get it to 92%.
That's a significant competitive advantage if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, I mean, some of the business cases that are going to start to be announced in annual reports about inventory management and sales lift. Last year, it's unfortunate last year happened with COVID, because some of the results that had come out of 19 that were headed into 20 were just phenomenal using the technology. But it will catch up again.
So, Dean, maybe just a slight change in direction here, but I really enjoyed an article that you wrote, and it was called Reducing Inventory and Transportation Through a New Era of Inventory Management, end quote. And it was a March 2020 article, and I apologize. I don't recall exactly the source where I got that. I have a whole bunch of articles from you. But the article touches on a significant value of RFID, and that is the idea of sustainability. In fact, you wrote that, quote, sustainability continues to be a critical subject line for a number of industries, none more so than the apparel and footwear sector. As business models for brand owners and fashion retailers evolved, giving customers immediate access to the latest trends, critics have weighed in on the impact that fashion industry has made to the global environment, end quote. Dean, when we talk about RFID, how is sustainability relevant?
Yeah, so great question. So, you know, at one level, we're doing things in our RFID tags that make it so that they're more sustainable as they're thrown away. I mean, if you're like me, I buy something, I cut the price tickets off, and I throw them in the trash, usually in the bedroom and the bathroom, whatever, right? And those work their way into the landfill. Well, in RFID tags, there's what's called a PET layer. It's a plastic layer that doesn't biodegrade. And so we as an industry are moving toward sustainable tags. And that's important. But the biggest thing that we saw, and the whole reason for that article, was that this customer that I articulated a minute ago, I used an example a minute ago, to get rid of 20 million garments. That's 20 million garments that don't have to get made. That's 20 million garments that don't have to go on a ship. That's 20 million garments that don't have to be put on a truck.
Yeah, okay. That's a big number.
And it's a huge number. And it's a number that can be measured, because we know what it takes to, you know, 20 million, I think the number I had was 50,000 containers or something like that. It was something ridiculous. And that didn't have to go on a ship.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of the things that we're continuing to show is, if you want to deal with sustainability, let's move beyond just the material of the product. And let's move into, can we make our supply chains more efficient, such that they don't require more fossil fuel, that they don't require the chemicals to make the products and all of that. And so, you know, it's something we're trying to harp on, because we believe it's a real benefit. It's not something very many people are picking up on yet, but our retailers are. So,
yeah, that's very interesting. It's not just about the material of the product. It's about the movement of the product, which clearly has a significant impact on sustainability.
That's fascinating. One customer. So imagine.
Yeah, you know, right.
We've got, I think we have roughly 1.5 billion items a year being moved through our retailer systems. And so think about, if you were able to take 10% of that out, you know, it's a significant impact on the environment. Able to eliminate them.
Yeah, Dean, that's an awesome, I really like that perspective about not just the sustainability of the tags, but what does the tag enable retailers to do? Do they need to produce that? What an awesome perspective. I want to change the conversation here a little bit, and I want to come back to something you said about who your end user is and how you drive shareholder value. Who do you think and who do you see as the end user with RFID?
It's interesting, because we've seen a migration of that value, you know, the value owner from the CFO to ultimately down. Now we're seeing it more and more into the customer service side of the business, meaning as we move to buy online, pick up in store and other omni-channel models, there is a heightened amount of effort around we need to satisfy the customer or they're just going to go someplace else. Anyone who's managing that customer relationship, which might mean SVP of store operations, is ultimately the one who's their team, his or her team, is the one touching the customer, the consumer. And I would say that while we have an economic buyer, and we have a strategic buyer, the one who seems to be the one who carries the most weight in a retail organization are those that are actually running the store, and everybody else works for them.
Yeah, the operational people.
Touching the consumer. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's, again, back why I said, when we get together inside a team, we really implore the team to make sure that it's got the cross-functionality, but specifically that there's a business owner to be part of that POC process.
Yeah. So, Dean, maybe as a bit of a follow-up to Jonathan's question and a follow-up to what you just said, you mentioned in an article that you're very focused on and have found that customers are where the best application and insights come from, you know, so your customers and users. What do you mean by that, and why does it matter?
Yeah, so, you know, we've got some really smart people on our team, but we're not retailers. We're not the ones dealing, you know, the retailers are the ones going through the transformation themselves. And that has never been more the case than what we saw this last year. The amount of change that took place in retailers in 2020, you know, I don't think we've all really even encapsulated what that was.
Yeah,
and appreciated
right.
what that was, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime supply chain disaster that took place. And not only was it supply chain disaster, it was a consumer disaster, and it was everything else, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So, you know, we have a customer advisory board, but more important even than that is that our team is engaged with our customers. This is a journey that we're on with our clients. It's not a go live event. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that journey goes on. I mean, our relationships with our customers are 10-year relationships. And so having culture on the greater team, which includes our customers, to hear them say why, what they're trying to do to innovate, what they're doing to try to change. You know, we've got customers who weren't doing buy online, pick up in store, and now they need to be. We have customers who believe returns fraud is a big deal. And again, think of our Clarity software technology as a tool. And we have to continue to add to that tool to make it useful inside a retail organization. And these retailers are extremely smart. And that kind of a relationship is proving out to be something that benefits everybody. So what XYZ retailer helps us develop, ABC retailer gets to take advantage of and implement. And so all, you know, kind of one of those things of all boats are rising as they help us become better at what we do.
Dean, there's so many different angles we can continue this conversation. And I'm finding myself flooded with questions to ask you, but I want to go deeper on what this last year and the experience of COVID has done for you and your clients in terms of RFID, its value to business, and how you think about the space.
Yeah, so I'll break it down into two compartments. The first compartment of customers or retailers are those that had the technology in place already. So, you know, we had thousands of stores around the world that had the technology. March 15th happened, everything started shutting down. And our business continued. We had a lot of projects going on. We moved our team to being remote. We were able to do amazing things. My team did amazing things with them being remote. And what we did is we put in some new functionality, getting ready to go live again or to go, you know, to turn on the stores again. But once the stores actually turned on, then there became a whole series of other things about, hey, late night calls. Hey, we need to be able to do this. Do you guys have anything you can turn on in our software that helps us do that? We've got a crisis. Can you guys get handhelds to this location? Things like that. It was almost looks like an emergency room situation where we were just saying, you got these tools on hand. We're trying to do things we never thought we'd need to do before. You know, I use the analogy of the Apollo 13 sometimes, of that situation where they're sitting there with some duct tape and a couple of hoses and a box, and that's kind of what it felt like in June, okay?
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
We never designed the system to handle these use cases, but how can we cobble stuff together as a team to help them out of this crisis? And it was amazing to see what the joint teams were able to do.
Yeah.
And so for them, they became this belief, like almost some of, I remember having conversations with some executives where they were like, we're not sure how we would have done this without the technology that we invested in and put this in place. We're not sure how we would ever have survived this and come out the other side, because we have retailers that went from almost no online business to doing 80% of their revenue in online. And being able to keep their whole business afloat because they were using their stores to pick orders out of. And those are going to be some great stories that come out.
So, Dean, you just mentioned technology investment, and I have a question on that. And if you're speaking to an organization, how do you know that RFID is providing the benefit to an organization, or a benefit or a return, as you'd mentioned, a return on that technology? Post-deployment, is there any sort of proof in the pudding, or what would the metrics look like?
Yeah, I mean, the first metric is you look at same store sales from year to year, same period, and that's the biggest. It is a, you know, there's always grayness to those calculations and comparisons, but that is what most retailers are doing. And so what they're saying is that they also look at their cancel rates for BOPUS. So we've got retailers that have 30% cancel rates. And so you go to RFID, you expose your inventory. You get rid of the overstatements and understatements of inventory in your ERP, and your cancel rates go down. So that also increases sales. Those are the two biggest ones, okay? But what ends up happening next is the supply chain, you know, brains start looking to saying, hey, well, I can tweak my inventory levels. I don't need to order as much of those blue medium T-shirts because I've got better view of them, and I think I've got more than I need. So I'm going to pull back on my orders. And that's why the inventory reduction business case element takes place in the second year. It doesn't take place in the first, it takes place in the second year when the supply chain executives and experts start looking at tweaking the knobs of their inventory levels to while they're still increasing their sales.
Sure.
But that's basically what we look at. We know what our inventory accuracy doesn't become an issue anymore. It becomes now, how does that impact the business? And it does by reducing out of stocks and then ultimately increasing your sales.
Dean, while we're on the topic of technology, what other emerging technologies do you feel are most relevant in terms of RFID? And what are you really excited about what you and another emerging technology can do together for the customer?
Yeah, good question. You know, again, I'm a little handicapped, if you will, looking at new technology because we're at the very beginning of this next 40 years.
Sure.
Okay. RFID is a bit of that emerging technology in it.
Exactly. Yeah. So somebody, I was involved with a conversation recently with somebody and they said, so what's the next thing after RFID? I said, I don't know. I won't be here. Okay. You know, I don't really care because I'm not going to be around. This is going to go on for a long time.
Dean, that's a fascinating question that Jonathan asked, and I think it is interesting. Are you and your team, like any conversations around like somehow how to maybe develop in your product clarity, like artificial intelligence or anything like that?
I sent my whole development team to an AI conference last year or a year before.
Oh, okay. All right. That answers the question. Yeah.
And so what's interesting is there's all this, you know, I'm a little cynical because I see all this investment in AI, but the data they're dealing with is 65% accurate.
Yeah. Can we dive into that?
Yeah, sure. But just real quick. So basically, AI is important. It does some real, you know, we're doing things like if it rains in Dallas, then we need to change the inventory level on the sales floor automatically rather than having somebody go in and dial it in. Okay,
yeah.
That's a simple AI model where some third piece of information that's out there in the environment, not the physical environment, can change something. You know, the Dallas Cowboys hopefully someday win another Super Bowl. Okay. Hopefully. Yeah. And if that was to happen, then you'd want to change the replenishment of all your stores of all the Dallas Cowboy jerseys. Okay. and do that without somebody going in and having at headquarters to change those knobs inside the system, as an example. So we think AI is important, but AI is, you know, again, think of all the things that you could do with AI and machine learning if you had better data on what your inventory level is. And I think that's what we're starting to see in some of our customers. They've got huge departments where they've got AI teams, and now that they can trust their inventory levels, they're choosing to do things differently on what they're doing with their inventory. And you can think about what they put on sale. I think we're going to see a whole, over the next 3 to 4 years, we're going to see a whole new class of machine learning and AI that's coming out of the fact that I have an inventory table that's now 98% accurate.
So the critical piece here then is actually getting the data to make machine learning and AI more relevant. Because if you're making automatic decisions based on 65% incorrect data, we've got some questions out of that.
Correct. That's the premise that I throw out there is that we've been, you know, the industry's invested billions of dollars in AI, but it's like putting my old Toyota 1.2 liter engine inside my Toyota pickup truck. It's not going to help.
Okay. There you go.
And so we need to move that forward.
Hey, Dean. So how does RFID future-proof businesses? How would you describe that for our listeners?
I think consumers are going to, it ultimately starts with the consumer. The consumer is going to expect more efficiency. I mean, we've seen that now with Amazon. You know, I mean, we expect when we order something for something to be delivered and for it to be there. If you accepted my credit card, we expect you to deliver it. And I think the consumer, that toothpaste is out of the tube, right? is we're going to expect that. And with that comes retail enterprises are going to have to adopt a new way of thinking about inventory and fulfilling customers' requirements and servicing customers. And
right.
It's not a question of can you live without it? Maybe there's a few retail segments that can deal without it. But based on the fundamentals of just going from a lower level of inventory accuracy to a higher one, and, you know, and there's a spectrum. Some retailers are worse than others, but the reality is that the competitive landscape in retail is so tight that shareholders are going to start, you know, I've had conversations with stock analysts because they're trying to figure out why do certain retailers that are publicly traded do better in inventory management than others and how can they help? And so this goes all the way back to the ownership of those companies driving and requiring more better performance of the share price through earnings per share benefits. It's going to be one of those things when the stories start coming out and you start seeing some of these retailers outpace their competitors at the stock price level, at the earnings per share level, at the customer satisfaction level, at the sales per store level, all of those things that I think are just going to just show folks that are on the slower end of the adoption curve that this is where you have to move to. And there's enough examples now. That flywheel has begun to spin, and we're going to see. I'm a huge believer in Jeffrey Moore's crossing the chasm model, and I think we're entering a tornado now where we're going to see every retailer start moving that way.
We all know that any kind of enterprise change can be a real challenge. It's disruptive. It requires change in business systems. Generally, behaviors, mindsets, and culture at the individual and the organizational level. In the ERP, we often talk about the triad. People, process, and technology all need to be managed appropriately. And I would say that, you know, systems, mindset, and behavior fit into that. Which part of the triad, that people, processes, or technology, do you think is the most significant challenge to RFID? And the most underutilized for successful change?
Yeah, very intriguing question. It's really easy. People. It's the change of the mindset to do something different. Yeah, I mean, you think about it, as I mentioned, you for 45 years, this is how we've been managing inventory. And so at the SKU level. And so to make a change to an item level system, RFID happens to be an enabler to an item level world. It's not the real focus. The real focus is moving to an item level world. You know, getting people to recognize that they need to do something different. Sometimes we call it the burning platform. You know, the platform mm-hmm. has to catch up fire before you jump off, right?
Yeah.
And what we saw this last year was a lot of retailers basically felt like they were on a burning platform, and so they jumped. And I think we won 7 deals since June. And these are all retailers that we talked to before that kind of thought that they could live without it. A lot of them did. And now all of a sudden, or they had tested it previously from somebody, but it's the people side of it, hands down, with the change. Technology's been proven. You know, we built 2 billion tags last year. We managed 25 billion transactions on our software last year. It's really about the organizational mindset to say, you know, we need to be courageous enough to do something different and be bold enough to go do that.
That's a great point, Dean. Yeah, that mindset to be a bit innovative and creative maybe with making that change, I think is significant.
We can almost tell when we go into a meeting whether they have the mindset to really change or they just want to play with the technology because somebody told them to go look into it, you know.
Well, now that's a big difference, right? There's a big difference yep. between those two mindsets. Huge difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Dean, last question, and thank you so much for your time today. This has been such a wonderful conversation. But if you had to distill down your years of experience and expertise making technology work for businesses, what is your advice for our listeners?
Yes, and the biggest thing is that focus on who the customer is. And my experience over the years is we can do a lot of cool stuff. We can automate processes. We can do all that. But if there's no benefit to the person that actually owns the problem, then it doesn't help. And so I think one of the things that yep. we did in 2008, I pivoted the company toward focusing entirely on item level retail and item level RFID in retail because it just was a gut feeling that there was a real problem and the technology could finally find a home at scale mm-hmm. to solve a big problem. And so being an entrepreneur that started a company from scratch and we did everything from, managing pallets to helping cases of Gatorade work their way into Walmart to keeping track of rat cages at Harvard. I mean, we've done everything okay, with RFID, keeping track of servers at Bank of America and hard drives at Wells Fargo. All of them were great projects. All of them, technology did great, but there really wasn't a business value there. There wasn't an ROI that you could hang your hat on. And what we found in 2007 and 2008 was there was really beginning to be a momentum around solving a real business problem that it sure. seemed to be a lot of people cared about.
Yeah.
And, whether you're somebody in an enterprise that's looking at adding technology or whether you're somebody as a technology provider, it's one of the things that I kind of walked away with as one of those pillars is be extremely pragmatic about the value proposition and don't get caught up in the technology itself.
Dean, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. Jonathan and I both appreciate it. Thanks for joining us and sharing your insight. Thanks again and be well.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for a great conversation, Dean.
Thanks, Jonathan. Bye.
Please join us in our next episode with Dr. Marianne Bradford as we discuss her book, Modern ERP, Select, Implement, and Use Today's Advanced Business Systems. Dr. Bradford is a full professor in the Department of Accounting, Poole College of Management at North Carolina State University. Dr. Bradford has been published in numerous journals, and her area of expertise includes enterprise resource planning systems, implementation and security issues, generalized audit software adoption and use, and business process reengineering. We hope you join us again next week for another rich conversation.
Listeners, thank you for joining us on today's episode. We are incredibly excited and grateful to have friends, colleagues, and mentors join us on our podcast. We have an incredible lineup of guests, including ERP and organizational change speakers, authors, professors, researchers, pioneers in the field, practitioners, PE partners, business executives, ERP vendors, and organizational stakeholders. We invite you to leave us feedback and a review, because we want to make this the most useful and insightful podcast you listen to. And we need your help to do so.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us again this week as we seek to, one, promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community, two, contribute to the field of ERP organizational change, and three, bring research and practice closer together. Please join us again next week as we discuss the latest ERP organizational change research, practice, and stories. Our podcast will draw on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, and practitioner expertise and experience.
From everyone here on the team, Jack, and myself, we wish you a great week, and we hope to see you again soon on another episode.
Hashtag the ERP Organizational Change Journal. Have a fantastic week.
Bye for now.